T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Packers game is over, and now it's time to break this one down. This is the Green and Gold Postgame Show. Now, along with former Packer and Badgers running back Gary Ellerson, here's the big unit, Bill Michaels.
That was an ugly game. I don't know how else to put it. That was an ugly game and an ugly performance by the Green Bay Packers, specifically on the defensive side of the football. The Green Bay Packers defense tonight on third down, 8 of 13 they gave up. A pathetic performance, while on the offensive side of the football, they were only able to convert 2 of 9. But man, oh man, it was an ugly one. 30-17 the final at Lambeau Field. Packers fall to the Detroit Lions after having a couple of weeks to prepare for this one. And Gary Ellerson alongside, I'm Bill Michaels. We're broadcasting live at the Hall of Fame Chop House here in Green Bay. And let's start with Brett Hundley,
sure,
Gary, because
sure.
I thought he looked better this week.
Yeah.
I thought he was more decisive.
Yeah.
He ends up throwing for 245 yards, 26 of 38, 86 quarterback rating, not a touchdown, not an interception. He did kind of what they wanted him to do, just get better. 26 of 38,
okay.
245 yards,
okay.
And a quarterback rating of 86. No touchdowns,
okay.
But he did kind of what they wanted him to do. Don't
right.
turn the ball over. Move
right.
the football if you can and try to extend a few plays. But, you know, there's some things I can criticize on Mike McCarthy. Defensively, they sucked. But I thought Brett Hundley, I thought he played pretty well.
So at the end of the day, that's what you got to be looking at. You got to be looking at the maturation of Brett Hundley. I mean, because that's really what this is all about. It's all about whether this guy, you can get a second-round pick for him. And everybody wants to, and I get it, everybody wants to compare the Green Bay Packers to the New England Patriots. Might as well stop it. The Green Bay Packers are the New England Patriots. Bill Belichick is the best coach in the NFL. Bill Belichick will go down as the modern-day Vince Lombardi. There's nobody else. Then you can list, go to the other coaches, you can list them after that. So, with that being said, they got rid of, Brisket, or whatever the guy's name. They got rid of him. I think they got a fourth-round mm-hmm. pick for him.
Brissett.
And then last week they got rid of Garoppolo. They got a second-round pick for Garoppolo some years before that. It was Castle. They got some picks for that. So, yes, I mean, if you want to compare him to the Patriots, go ahead. But the Patriots are so far in another stratosphere than everybody else, you can go ahead and do that. And then there you have – there sits after that is Mike McCarthy – what's my guy name in Pittsburgh?
Tomlin.
Which, and you know what? And I don't live in Pittsburgh, but Mike Tomlin's not catching a lot of heat in Pittsburgh like I thought he would. Well, you know, of course, he still has Ben Roethlisberger. So you can go on from there. And I just think if you really thought about this, Bill, and all came, and I don't know who you pick, but I picked the Detroit Lions to beat the Green Bay Packers 35-27. And the reason why I did that is because I knew this defense couldn't get any stops. They can't. Everything is predicated on Aaron Rodgers. This team is built around Aaron Rodgers. And what do I mean by that? Because a lot of people – well, it's built around – Dom Capers' defense works the best when you have a lead. And normally when you have Aaron Rodgers, you're playing from a lead. So Capers, he can blitz. He can disguise stuff. You don't know where it's coming from. Now Matthew Stafford is pressing. Matthew Stafford never really got uncomfortable tonight. Never really did.
No.
So in order for the Green Bay Packers to win this game, Matthew Stafford had to be Matthew Stafford, which he never was. Matthew Stafford is on my list of a bunch of quarterbacks that will give you at least 3 chances to get picks. I don't think he got close, Bill. There was some tip stuff, but I don't think he's got close. So, I don't know where we're going. We're getting back to the coaching staff and McCarthy and Huntley. I agree with you, Bill. I think if you look long-term, I think Huntley looked better this week than he did his first week in starting the football. After that, defense is weak. Defense don't have a lot of players. So, you players that can make a difference. So if you want to go ahead and blame Ted, go ahead and blame McCarthy, this is what happens when you build your defense, I mean, when you build your team around the quarterback. And then some people hit me up on Twitter, well, what about Minnesota, Gary? What about Minnesota?
Right.
Well, they built their team around the defense side of the ball.
Yeah.
Mike Zimmer's the defense coordinator. He's a whiz, and that's how they're going to get it. So when they go look for a quarterback, it's almost like a plug and play. It's almost like don't throw it away. You know, just hand it off. Don't do anything stupid. It's going to be 14-17. It's going to be a physical game, and that's why they can plug and play a quarterback so much easier than the Green Bay Packers.
The Packers, again, going back to the beginning of the season, they were expected to have a defense hopefully in the top 15, and that would be enough to get Aaron Rodgers and what was
supposed to be.
Well,
he made a lot of moves this offseason to get
that. And that was supposed to be an offense then that propelled you to a Super Bowl.
Sure.
But you weren't building for Brett Hundley. You were building for Aaron Rodgers.
Correct.
And, you know, look, defensively, they sucked.
They do.
They absolutely sucked.
So what if I say they don't have any players on defense? What if I tell you that? So, who you want to blame?
Well, that's Ted.
Okay.
But I'll say this. I'll say this. Tonight, that screen pass that went 60-something yards to Riddick.
Yes.
That completely, I'm going to lay it at the feet of Dom Capers because nobody knew what the hell was going on.
No.
No, they looked at a screen pass.
No.
How do you not know a screen pass is coming?
Well,
they looked right at it. It was a perfect play call against the perfect blitz.
Yeah.
Dom Capers blitzed on that, and nobody in the backside knew what was coming.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Yeah.
That's how stupid that defense is. Nobody knew it was coming. That's Dom Capers.
Well, but you took a gamble, though, Bill.
You did take a gamble.
You were trying to create something. What do you do? You take a gamble. They were blitzing all night.
They were coming after him.
I mean, he blitzed. Demaryius ran, I don't know, about 100 times.
The worst part is he kept blitzing them, and they couldn't get home.
They couldn't get home.
They don't have the guys to get home.
They blitz all night long and could not get home. So I don't know, you know, and it's crazy because I've done this in little league coaching where I was a defense coordinator, and I dial up a doggone blitz, and they go the other way. And it happens. And so sometimes you're like, well, should I blitz anymore? Should I just stay safe? And should I just stay back here? And that's happened to me in eighth grade football. And it's like the most gut-wrenching thing when you decide to take a guess on a joker and they do something else on the back door. Or if you've got a smart – in eighth grade, ain't nobody checking out of nothing. I just totally missed it. But if you got a smart quarterback who sees this stuff coming over here and he checks out, gets into the right play over to your left, and called a screenplay. Those things happen. You're taking a chance. I don't know. Maybe you blame Dom for taking a chance, and he didn't dial up the right blitz at that particular time.
What bothered me about it was nobody saw it coming, and nobody recognized it.
Well, you can't see it coming when you're doing stuff on the other side. You're dialing stuff up over there. You're not going to see what's coming on the backside. You got too many guys on the other side coming on the blitz, and that's what they're selling out for. That was a great play by them.
It
was a great play by them.
It was almost as if Detroit knew the packages.
They knew what was coming.
They knew what was coming.
They knew what was coming.
Yep.
And even if they didn't know what was coming, Bill, maybe Stafford gets to the line of scrimmage and check out of that whatever play was called because he knew it was coming. They've been doing it all game long.
And people say, well, it was Beagle, give him a break. You know, it's funny. If it's Hundley, throw the bum out, you got to get Kaepernick. It's Vince Beagle from Wisconsin, oh, give him a break. Give him a break. But it was T.J. Watt. T.J. Watt would have stuffed it, and he would have ended up being a highlight reel, and everybody said that Ted should have taken T.J. Watt.
Yeah.
The one thing that I've learned over the last 3 weeks about
Beagle's not going
about many Packers fans is, my God, can you whine and bitch and cry? My God, you expect Brett Hundley to be a Hall of Fame quarterback?
Yeah,
I mean, I've got people saying, oh, my God, look at him. He's a bum. Get him out of here. You got to go to Joe Callahan. Got to get Callahan.
Well,
the guy played nine quarters of football.
Yeah.
And some of these people already know. You've been so spoiled by Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, and all you want to do is bitch and whine and moan about everything, and you know that the scheme sucks. You don't even know what the scheme is. There's just a load of dumbass out there. And you want to bitch about Brett Hundley. Come on. Brett Hundley's had nine quarters of football, and you've already determined he's a bum, move on. Then you've got the Colin Kaepernick, and you've got the Joe Callahan, and every other quarterback people can think of. You got to give him a chance. He played better tonight than he did a couple of weeks ago against the Saints.
So most people forget that Aaron Rodgers' first year in Green Bay was 6-10. He was 6-10.
Right.
So I don't know what you then expect out of Hundley. Aaron Rodgers was 6-10. And how about this, Bill? In a full year of training camp. So in training camp, Aaron Rodgers knew he was going to be starting quarterback from day one. Had a full year. He went 6-10. I don't know how you expect more out of Huntley than you did out of Aaron Rodgers when he goes 6-10. That to me, that blows my mind. I don't think you expect for this guy to come in with a limited number of reps, coming off of bye week, and win you 6-7 games in a row. That's not going to happen. If fans just think about this in a rational way and they just stop and think, what was Aaron Rodgers' first record in Green Bay? 6-10.
Mm-hmm.
Slow your roll a little bit. What's up, Adam? All right.
855-830.
We got anybody, nobody wants to talk?
No. Well, I'm getting ready to go to him because I did. We had to get all that initial out of
we
the
way.
We
got it.
We had to get it all out of the way. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. That's an AlonesByKip.com toll-free talk line. Give us a shout. We would love to hear from you. 855-830-8648. We'll get into the network broadcast portion coming up here in about 4 minutes.
Oh,
as right now we're only on in Milwaukee, but if you want to join us throughout the rest of the state and maybe you're listening to us on the app or you're tweeting us, go ahead and start giving us phone calls. 855-830-8648. Jacob is on the south side. Jacob, welcome to the program and the Green and Gold postgame show.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. First of all, I just got to say I shudder to consider myself a Packer fan because I love my Green Bay Packers. But when I think about Packer fans, I kind of shudder because I just associate it with dummies. I mean, these people, they think that they're, you know what, don't stink and they know everything. I got to stay off social media. It was universal tonight. People just saying, Hundley sucks. He's the reason we lost this game. He's the worst ever. Here's the deal about Hundley. He executed the game plan that was presented to him. He had I think he was 86 quarterback rating tonight, picked up some first downs with his feet. Like I said, executed the game plan that was presented to him. It's not his fault that the game plan presented to him was a losing game plan from the start. McCarthy scripted the first 15 plays. It was working pretty well. As soon as they got to third and long, they ran another, you know, crappy little 5-yard out because he's afraid to let Hundley throw it out. And that really was one of the turning points of the game. Hundley, I mean, I think he had a really, really good game tonight, all things considered. I look at a guy like Mike McCarthy, and it's become very apparent to me that Aaron Rodgers has made him a lot of money over his career. The tension between these two is starting to make a lot more sense. I think we saw a few weeks ago, Rodgers, you could read his mouth. He said, what a dumb bleeping call after a play that McCarthy drew up. It's probably a godsend that Rodgers gets to check out of a run play to a pass play or vice versa, because clearly, if they were running a game plan by McCarthy 100% of the time, they would be a bottom third offense in the NFL, even with Aaron Rodgers, because he is scared. I mean, the guy is sackless, for lack of a better term. I think McCarthy is proving to be overrated, especially as far as being an offensive guru.
Hold on for a second. I'll let you get in on McCarthy in a minute. Let me ask you this. Let's go famous head coaches and give me the quarterback with them. You want to do that? You want to play that game?
Sure.
Well, give me a famous head coach.
Bill Belichick, Tom Brady. I know.
Okay.
You're
okay. Hold up. Okay. Is it Bill Belichick or is it Tom Brady?
In that case, I think it's a little bit of both.
I totally agree. Got another one?
Okay. Let's say Joe Walsh, Joe Montana. Or Bill
you want to go? You want to go, Joe Montana and Bill Walsh?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to do what you want me to do. I know where you're going with this.
Where am I going? Here's where I'm going. Because there is really no head coach that's winning Super Bowls without a great quarterback, unless you got Ray Lewis and them.
Brian Billick did it with Trent Dilfer.
Right. Well, that's Ray Lewis and them.
Right.
John Gruden did it with Brad Johnson.
Yeah, and so let's go Warren Sapp and them. So Derrick Brooks, who's Joker had in the secondary, who's almost a Hall of Famer. So what I'm trying to tell you, unless you go defense, you cannot name me a great head coach without a let's go Jimmy Johnson and
Troy Aikman.
And then Jimmy Johnson left Dallas,
the one with the same group.
And went to Miami, right?
Didn't have a great quarterback.
He had Dan Marino for 1 year. Dan Marino got pissed off because he wanted to throw the ball 50 times a game. And Jimmy was saying, hey, we need to get a run game in order to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot name a great head coach without a great quarterback. They're one in the same.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree because I think with the Jimmy Johnson example, you kind of just proved my point.
What?
He had a good quarterback in Aikman, went to some place where Marino was on the downside of his career and he couldn't win.
Right.
Because Marino was on the downside of his career.
Right.
I mean, the Denver Broncos didn't win the Super Bowl, just the most recent one, because Peyton Manning was great. He was on the downside of his career. They did it because they built a hell of a defense. With Von Miller and company.
And all you're saying at this point is that you need to have great players to win a Super Bowl. I don't think that's any revelation.
Well, I think you need to have both. I think you got to have both.
What Gary said, appreciate the phone call. The bottom line is this, you have to have you can ask all day, is it the coach or is it the players?
Correct.
Okay? The funny thing is that the coach gets the blame when the team sucks. The players get all the credit when the team's great.
Correct.
So, okay, I agree that Aaron Rodgers makes this team markedly better.
Absolutely.
I think the Cleveland Browns have 5 wins if they have Aaron Rodgers on that team.
Thank you very much.
You know,
did you see Pete Doherty's article last week? I think he just did that article last week. He called all these big top executives in the NFL.
Who basically said the Packers are a little bit above the Cleveland Browns.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay.
If you take Aaron Rodgers away.
Sure. You know, I understand.
And then he said if you take them, most of the quarterbacks that are really good, if you take those quarterbacks off their team, they're a lot like Cleveland Browns.
Look at what happened last year when the Oakland Raiders lose Derek Carr going into the postseason. They got waxed.
Yeah.
They lose their quarterback. Yeah. They're done. Yeah. I mean, it's a fact. It's a quarterback driven
league.
It's
done.
Not a cliche for a reason.
Fire McCarthy.
We don't
Fine. Fire.
Look, I don't know necessarily whether it was McCarthy in the play calling. I mean, there was a couple of plays that I thought, what are you doing? That end around on a third down or on the fourth down play, I thought was stupid.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell I was doing.
That was a dumb ass
move.
Who
you trying to fool?
That was a dumb call.
You're just trying to out-scheme
so
yourself.
I don't know why he ran that. I agree with that. I think there's calls that Mike McCarthy's made that have been
absolutely
bad. But you can't just say it's all Aaron Rodgers and McCarthy has nothing to do with it.
Thank you, Bill. You just can't say that.
I think you're just stupid if you do. Because in essence, what you're saying is that Mike McCarthy gets all the blame, and for all the losses that Aaron Rodgers and company have had, he takes none of it?
Thank you.
None. He hasn't had a bad game. He hasn't thrown a couple of picks. He hasn't made a couple of bad reads.
Yeah.
He hasn't missed a couple of passes. What about the beginning of last year? It was all McCarthy's fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Well, Aaron Rodgers is off. Well, was Aaron Rodgers off, or did Mark McCarthy tell him to throw the ball away? You know?
I agree.
I get it. It's the ultimate team sport. Do I think the defense sucks and they're not too knowledgeable right now? Absolutely. I think Dom Capers is on the hot seat. I think he's real on the hot seat. 855-830-8648. For those of you that are listening to us on the network, welcome to the Green and Gold Post Game Show.
Fun.
The Green Bay Packers lose 30-10. We've been on the air now for about 15 minutes on our flagship station.
I'm hot.
Out of Milwaukee. And you've missed rants and raves and screams and yells and all kinds of stuff. But if you were watching that game tonight, no matter where it is you're returning from, it was just ugly. It was. I don't even know how else to put it. Let's go to Terry listening to us in San Diego. Terry, how you doing today? What's going on?
Hey, you gentlemen.
Let's put Terry back on hold because Terry's phone is terrible. Terry, you need to get into a better cell spot or upgrade your cell provider. Let's go to Steve listening to us in Madison on the zone. Steve, how you doing?
Hey, Steve. Or hey, Bill. I'm on a
You're
bus
Steve.
On the way.
There you go.
I am Steve. On a bus ride home from Lambeau right now. And hey, it's not the offense. It's the defense. It's the defense for the last 4 years. Rodgers has covered it up over and over and over again.
I agree.
Hey, you look how many times did they punt the ball this evening? How many times do we get off the field on third down? It's the same old, same old. I don't know a ton about team. I don't know this or that. But you're looking at first, second, third round draft picks over the last 4 years that can't get off the field.
Completely agree.
Yeah, totally agree.
That's an issue. That's an issue from the top. That's an issue with Ted Thompson. That's an issue with McCarthy. That's an issue with Murphy. That's an issue with the organization.
I would agree with that. I think the talent, I don't know what the talent in the last 2 years has been, and we won't know until it's fully developed, but I appreciate the phone call. But I've said it before, I'll say it again. If Ted Thompson does not bring a Pro Bowler in a year, at least one, when you live by draft and develop, And you don't get that guy, you are setting your team back 3 years. Because what you do, in essence, is give guys 3 to 4 years to figure it out. Because in their fourth year, if they don't pan out, they're gone.
I'm trying to think, Bill, though. If you go back, let's just do when Aaron Rodgers first got the quarterback position. What defensive players have they really had Pro Bowl? So they had Woodson, Hair on Fire,
Nick Collins. Nick Collins was a big loss. Then you had Woodson, Sam Shields, Tremont Williams back there.
No, I mean Pro Bowl players. Well, I don't think Sam Shields ever a Pro Bowl. Was he a Pro Bowl? Maybe
no,
once?
But he was approaching.
He was good. But I don't
he had
know
a big pick in that Super Bowl.
Tremont Williams. I don't think he was ever a Pro Bowler,
but he was a great number two to a counterpunch of Charles
Woodson.
Yes,
what I'm trying to say is that I don't think there's ever been a glutton of Pro Bowl players.
Did B.J. Raji make it?
He might have made one or two.
Yeah, B.J. Raji, for sure. Clay Matthews. Remember that year they had all the linebackers went down, so you were down as Nick Zombo and
yeah, I think Clay may be the only linebacker that I thought that really was.
But Clay was a game changer.
Yeah,
back then.
That was it.
Clay was that guy.
That was it.
You had Cullen Jenkins,
and
you never hit on another linebacker. B.J. Raji. Ryan Pickett.
Because Nick Perry was drafted pretty high.
Yeah, you had all those bodies that were up there
that
rotated up front, and it was all led by the Defensive Player of the Year in Charles Woodson. He was your Pro Bowler. Clay Matthews was your Pro Bowler.
Yes.
Nick Collins was well on his way.
Yes.
Nick Collins was on the way to Hall of Fame career when he went down.
Yeah, he was.
And that's what you had defensively.
Right.
And you had the best year ever
out
of A.J. Hall.
So my point is after that, you just never really had a group full of Pro Bowlers on the defensive side of the ball.
No.
Hell, Woodson, you didn't even draft.
No, you brought him in as
you
a free agent.
You brought him in as a free agent. So the only jokers that you drafted as a Pro Bowlers, if we could do the research on it, is Clay Matthews and B.J. Raji for maybe a year and Nick Collins.
Yeah.
Is that about it?
About it. That's about it.
Think about that.
Yeah.
How long they been here doing this?
They've been there doing a long
20 years?
And that's what I said. If Ted believes that he's got the
players.
So
it's been about Rodgers.
It has been. And we've always said you don't have to have a top 10 defense.
Not with Rodgers.
Not with Aaron Rodgers in the offense.
Or Brett Favre.
But if you build it that way, you better. It's kind of like being a power hitting team. A team that swings for the fences. If your team goes cold, you're not scoring runs.
So it's the Brewers at Miller Park?
That's it. That's it. If you build a team to hit home runs and you bring in a bunch of big war number power hitters, but they're not going to put the ball in play, they're just going to hit home runs, when they go cold, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Same thing when you build a team to be all offense and you build a team that doesn't have much defensively and you build a team based around the quarterback, which a lot of teams that have good quarterbacks or great quarterbacks do. It's a smart thing to do.
Right.
So that's what they did. And then, unfortunately, he goes down with an injury, and all the warts and all the blemishes start to come to the forefront.
Yeah.
They're 10 times as bad. By the way, Demaryius Randall said tonight, we just blank the bed. Point blank, period. We just blank the bed.
He's right.
He's absolutely correct.
Defense totally did.
855-830-8648. Let's go to Dan listening to us in Milwaukee. Dan, how you doing today? What's going on?
Hey there. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I have a few thoughts on this game. First thing I want to say is the Packers going into the Vikings game when they're 4-1, they're arguably one of the two or three best teams in the league. With Rodgers gone, the entire team has looked atrocious. There isn't no one single coach or player to assign blame for how poorly they've played. Rodgers is just showing why he is the best player in the league based on like how the Packers have been playing these past couple of games. I think Rodgers being gone is bad, not only for his lack of talent on the field, but it has a psychological effect on the rest of the players where they just have in the back of their minds that he's not in the game. So it's affecting everyone's play, everyone's decisions. Next thing I want to say is Hundley has been pretty much atrocious so far. He does not look downfield at all. He just looks scared whenever anyone gets around him near the pocket. I have a little bit of hope they might get better because he does seem to have accuracy on some of his deeper balls. So I hope he's getting confidence in these games. But
Looking downfield too often. But then again, and just for good perspective, appreciate the phone call. when he did look downfield today, there were guys doing scramble drill, but they were just kind of running around in circles.
Yeah.
There weren't guys, because Mike Clemens even leaned over to me and said the same thing. Said, look at that. Nobody's open. They're just kind of running around. They're not really coming back to help him out. And by that time, he's on the run and scrambling around, and it's over. They got it. They either got to get open, or he, as he had to do, was check down over the middle. He was not throwing to the outs, though. Did you notice that? He's never been comfortable with quick outs. He's always been high and forward on the pass. So they stuck with what he does well, and that is quick, over the middle, 10-yard passes. Hit it. Because that pass towards the end of the ball game that he hit just before they scored their last touchdown, but the one prior to, he put that right into the window.
Yeah. I mean,
that was a hell of a pass.
Oh, the one to Randall Cobb?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a pass. Yeah. I mean, he did exactly what he was supposed to. I mean, that right there is what we've seen out of Brett Hundley before,
right. And
you got a flash of it.
Right.
But they don't go to the outs real quick. They don't do the quick outs and let the bubble screens of the wide receivers or anything like that. He's not comfortable throwing that pass yet. They tried to put him on the move a couple of times. I didn't like the fact that they put him on the move and he's trying to throw back against the grain.
I think he just did it on his own.
So, he's not good at it.
No, well,
at
no
least
one
not
is,
yet.
Because that's what Brett Favre used to do.
Right. But it
why are you throwing that when you just take a knee?
But he was better. The deep pass to Jordy Nelson, the deep pass to Davante Adams, which hit off of Davante Adams' fingertips, I thought Devontae pulled up on.
Yeah.
But he threw some really good balls today. And that one, I don't know how they didn't call pass interference. I mean, clearly Jordy's.
Oh, yes.
Jordy
Nelson.
Because you don't have to grab the guy for you to change his direction for his capability to run. And that's what it did because people say, well, he's not really grabbing him. But if you wrap your arms around a guy and change his position, that's pass interference.
Because he can't stretch out and get
correct.
Going.
But I thought Hundley threw the ball quicker today, was quicker with his decisions, and that'll come.
Right.
But I don't think Brett Hundley was your overall problem today. Mm-hmm. I think if you want to really analyze it, your defense sucks. If I'm the Green Bay Packers, I'm looking at myself in the mirror and go, my defense sucks.
No, they do. And we knew that going in.
855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. That's on the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. Give us a shout. We would love to hear from you. Packers lose 30-10 defensively in ugly, ugly fashion to the Detroit Lions. We have not won that way since, 2001?
Yeah.
I think, if I read correctly.
I thought I read that somewhere.
2001. So Detroit comes in, gets a win, and they walk away a smiling football team. Meanwhile, the Packers, they got to look back and clean it up and whatever other cliche you want to throw in there, whatever other load of crap. But nevertheless. By the way, the Packers' first score of the game was a Mason Crosby 35-yard field goal. Here it is.
Third down and long. Got to be real careful if you're young Brett Hundley here. You want to get something before the break.
And make sure that you at least need time for a field goal attempt. Over the middle, they're going to have to run them on quickly because they don't get a first down. Here comes the sprint of the field goal unit, so even more pressure on the new snapper with this fire drill kick from 35 yards for Mason Crosby to get it off. And that is very well done by Green Bay.
Credit Ron Zook, the special teams coach. That is something you practice hard on the practice field late every week, but that is hard to pull off.
They got that on in 8 seconds, courtesy of ESPN and Monday Night Football. That's the first score of the game, brought to you by Bryant and Stratton College. Athletics offering scholarships, 6 athletic scholarships, as a matter of fact, in junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com, bscbobcats.com. More of the Green and Gold postgame show live from the Hall of Fame Chop House here in Green Bay. We've got more right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Where did this one turn? This is the Turning Point of the Game, presented by Aurora Healthcare for your life.
Welcome back. 30-10, the Green Bay Packers, they get knocked off by the Detroit Lions at Lambeau Field. And I'm Bill Michaels alongside the former Packer and Badger, Gary Ellerson. Sitting here next to me is the Packers not feeling good after this one. Mike McCarthy said this wasn't on Brett Hundley. It was on a lot of other things, and he's absolutely right. Brett Hundley had a few hiccups. I'm not going to say he wasn't without error.
Right.
He didn't play a terrible game like many of you want to claim because I don't know what you're looking at. I mean, you weren't sitting where we were sitting, I guess, but just did the eyeball test and what we witnessed a couple of weeks ago versus what we witnessed tonight. He was a better quarterback. Now, hopefully, hopefully he continues to get better and build upon that. Where did this game turn? Well, I guess you could pretty much say that Marvin Jones catches that 25-yard pass play from Matthew Stafford for the first score of the game, and that put the Lions up 7-0 in this ball game. And that was pretty much it. I mean, you can talk about a lot of different things. The Packers come back and get a score when Brett Hundley gets the one-yard run. And life was pretty good at that point because you thought, okay, well, it's 20-10. Maybe the Packers have a little bit of life, a couple of scores. And then you had that great big gain, that screen pass we've been talking about. And all of a sudden it goes 62 yards, and that sets up the next score for the Detroit Lions. And before you know it, the Lions get another one in. They go up 27-10 with Marvin Jones with the 11-yard touchdown pass from Matthew Stafford. And that was pretty much all she wrote. So that was your turning point of the game, and the turning point of the game for this one, always, as always, brought to you by Aurora Healthcare, offering exceptional healthcare, world-class doctors, and convenience that fits your busy life. Aurora Healthcare, that is for your life, and that's the turning point of the game. Let's get back to the phone calls. Let's go back to Terry, who's been on hold. He's listening in San Diego. Terry, welcome to the program and the Green and Gold Postgame Show.
Oh, good evening, fellas. Sorry about that earlier snafu, but I got to talk about the defense here again. And tonight we see the Lions, who have been giving up sacks and droves and just played a tough physical Sunday night game against the Steelers, come in with a third-string tackle. And Stafford had all day to throw. And they never punted. And they scored 30 points. And they put up 420 yards. And we came off a bye. And it's not just about tonight's game. It's about 6.5 years of repeated defensive failures. And I don't like to hear, which I hear from some folks, there's not been enough talent or resources devoted to the defense. The last six top picks in the draft have gone to the defense. If you look it up, the team has spent more on defensive salaries in the last 6.5 years than they have on the offense. They've spent, a couple years ago, they were number two in the league. They've been in the top 10 on defense for many years. I don't know if it's Ted can't draft defense, Dom can't coach him, or a combination thereof. But there's been no accountability. I still don't hear anyone talking about someone needs to get fired. In fact, I heard Coach McCarthy at the end of last season tell me that Dom Capers was an outstanding football coach at his end of the season presser. He sounded defiant about it. Sounded to me like he wasn't happy with the players his defensive coordinator is being given. There's no accountability in Green Bay. None. We're just going to continue to see this defense, which had all 11 preferred starters starting tonight, get shredded. It's an embarrassment. I'll hang up and listen.
He's right. I can't argue.
If you look
with
at the defensive draft picks, you can go back to Jarrell Worthy out of Michigan State, bust. The kid that they drafted out of UCLA, Dayton Jones. Bust. If you go back and look at you had a couple DBs that they had, and I forget those names, bust. Yeah, I mean, there have been a lot of draft picks that he's drafted relatively high that these guys have not panned out. No, you are exactly right. No doubt about it. But what we haven't done is go back and then just go through all these drafts and see who went after these guys to know how big of a bust these guys really are, or were there just not a whole lot of talent in that year's draft when they went and got these guys that were Ted just reaching. But that Kyree Thornton bust, I mean, he was a third or fourth round pick that they Ted reached on. So, yeah, I mean, no doubt about it. Defensively, he has been horrible defensively at trying to plug players.
He grabbed in that draft with Kyree Thornton. He got to HaHa Clinton-Dix, who played pretty well until this season, and HaHa got it burned again tonight. I don't know what he was doing. Kyree Thornton.
What was he, a third, fourth?
Kyree Thornton was the third round. Carl Bradford was your fourth round linebacker pick. And then he went to Dimitri Goodson with the sixth round. But that was also the Corey Linsley draft, Richard Rodgers draft, Devontae Adams draft. So that wasn't actually offensively a bad draft.
Well, offensively, but I think if you look at the draft as a whole, good draft.
Good draft.
But if you look at just what
trying
this guy is talking about,
trying to fortify your defensive side of the football,
not very good.
Not very good. I mean, go back to 2013, Dayton Jones.
That's a bust.
That's first pick. Yeah. Ended up being a bust.
Yep.
You know, he went with a defensive back of Micah Hyde, who played okay here, but they brought him in as a corner, and then they had to convert him to safety because he had
slow.
this turn speed. All of a sudden, he's lighting the world on fire. Josh Boyd was the defensive end. Nate Palmer was a linebacker. Sam Barrington was a linebacker. All of those guys in that draft.
Sam Barrington had a relatively good year.
He was okay.
He was okay. Yeah, he wasn't okay. A Pro Bowler.
No, he was okay. But, I mean, still, though, but you ended up drafting all those defensive players. None of them really stuck. Micah Hyde was your guy out of that whole group, and your number one draft pick turned out to be, a guy that can't even get a job right now.
I agree.
You know? 855-830-8648. Let's go ahead and take another quick break. We'll come back with more of the Green and Gold postgame show live here in Green Bay right after this.
No, we're not breaking.
Oh, we're not? Okay.
All right, let's go.
Thought it said take a break. Okay. Let's see here. Let's do this. Let's go to Joe listening to us in Georgia. Joe, welcome to the program.
Whoa.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Doing well, Joe. What's on your mind?
A lot's on my mind. Okay, so let me just, Bill, I listen to you and Gary a lot. And, Bill, I know you're a supporter of Capers. I am, too, by default.
It's not that I'm a supporter. It's that for everybody that just wants to say everything sucks and blame everything, that's what gets on my nerves. If you want to point out specific things that are bad, I can completely agree with you. It's just that when you throw out blanket statements and it's just whining to whine, it just gets old because it makes you sound stupid, like you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's annoying. I agree. It bothers me all the time. I think Gary kind of feels the same way that you do, too, as well. I don't know, Gary. Do you? I don't know.
What's your point, boss? You from Georgia, right?
Yeah.
All right, you're my homeboy. Let's go.
Okay, I am. I've defended Capers for years, and I don't know what to do anymore. I can't imagine the talent is this bad on the defensive side of the ball to where. Guys don't know where they're going. Look, I played at a smaller college as opposed to you, Gary. You played in the NFL. Bill, I thought you played for Ohio State, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. But if I'm wrong, correct me. But I know in our defensive meetings, it's when you're on the defensive side of the ball, there's a want to tackle. You want to hit somebody. You want to knock someone in their mouth. But you want to do it in a disciplined manner and control your anger and be able to deliver blows to the opposing offense that they'll look and say, oh, watch out. I don't know what's going on with this defense, and I have defended Capers for years, but I don't know what to do anymore. I mean, I'm to the point that
can't.
You might got to go to Capers and say, hey, dude, we need a new voice. It's just not working anymore.
Yeah, right now you can't. And that's the most disappointing thing is there's no way to defend what's going on.
It's disappointing because the problem is, guys, whether it's Marvin Jones tonight, Cecil Shorts with the Jaguars, I remember a few years ago, 2 years ago, except me from home, I can't remember. But there's only.
Do this because we're at the top of the hour. We got to take a quick break. But real quick, I mean, just look at this. The proof is in the pudding. 8 of 13 defensively on third down. The Lions were 62% for a total of 417 total net yards today. As a matter of fact, they held the ball for the time of possession 36-55 to 23-05. Almost a full quarter better than the Packers that they held onto the football. The Packers defense was on the field through no fault of their own because it was basically them who couldn't get off the field. That's the Aproyo stat of the day. If you don't need to look any further than that for the stats, as a matter of fact. The Aproyo stat of the day brought to you by our friends at Aproyo, and they take companies just like yours, implement SAP and big data solutions. Check them out at APPROYO.com. More of the Green and Gold postgame show right after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. The Packers game is over, and now it's time to break this one down. This is the Green and Gold postgame show. Now, along with former Packer and Badgers running back Gary Ellerson, here's the big unit, Bill Michaels.
30-10, the Green Bay Packers knocked off at Lambeau Field by the Detroit Lions, and the Packers, not a good day defensively. As a matter of fact, I'll answer one of the Twitter questions coming up here in just a moment. Gary Ellerson alongside. the former Packer and Badger himself. Frustration running rampant for everybody. Somebody asked me how many third and longs the Lions converted today, Gary.
Mm-hmm.
Five out of six.
Ton of them. Yeah.
5 out of 6 of third and 7 or better.
Got frustrated.
They converted. The only one they didn't convert was a 3rd and 11. They converted a 3rd and 14, a 3rd and 10, a 3rd and 7, a 3rd and 10, and a 3rd and 8.
Yeah, those are frustrating, and yeah. those hurt you. I mean, if you remember the very first one, you get out the field, and Mike Daniels decides he's going to headbutt somebody, and
yep.
then they come back, and it was the 3rd and longs are frustrating. They had a 2nd and 18, they got a first
right.
down on.
Right.
It's just frustrating. Real quick, Bill, let me give you this.
Okay, shoot.
I've been going back and forth with people on Twitter about, okay, give me your top 5 coaches that you'd rather have over McCarthy right now. And don't include Belichick. Well, no one, they always have to include Belichick. So we're just going to throw Belichick out. I'm going to give you what they're saying on Twitter.
Okay.
Would you take Pete Carroll over McCarthy?
No.
Would you take Mike Tomlin over McCarthy?
No.
Would you take Sean Payton over McCarthy?
No.
And the biggest love that a lot of people are getting, would you take Andy Reid over McCarthy?
No. What does Andy Reid want?
What's he done?
What's he won?
What's Andy Reid done? Didn't Andy Reid come up here with Kansas City and we whooped their tails and sent them home?
He took one team to a Super Bowl.
And that was Donovan
and
McNabb.
And he was handed a
Terrell
dream
Owens.
Team
right.
with three, all like all
you
this
remember
money.
That dream team
and,
they had?
And he couldn't do anything with it.
Remember that?
Right.
Okay. New wave coaches now, because you know you got the new wave
guy. The Sean Payton thing is stupid because Sean Payton, over the last 3 seasons, went 7-9.
Yes.
Do you think Mike McCarthy would last here if he went 3 straight seasons of 7-9? That's just stupid.
Isn't that stupid?
That is a prisoner of the moment. That's a dumb
totally.
Statement.
All right, so now breaking the top 5 is your guy out in San Francisco. Is that McVay? With the Rams.
With the Rams.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now they're saying they take him over. He's had 8 games?
He's got 8 games.
He's
yeah.
got 8 games. How are you going to take a juggernaut with 8 games over McCarthy?
Yeah, that's dumb.
Right?
Right.
So I'm trying to look, trying to be objective about all this stuff that people are trying to say to me. Okay, name the coaches right now today that are better.
I'll say this.
Andy Reid, I don't get the Andy Reid love. I really don't.
Because he was here when Favre was here, and everybody loves that, and everybody wants to live in the past. That's fine.
Is that the Andy Reid love?
That's part of what Andy.
I don't get Andy Reid at
all.
That's
part of it. But with Mike Tomlin, I'll tell you what, I've respected Mike Tomlin. His team plays hard.
They do.
His team defensively has always played hard.
They do.
I mean, if I had to take somebody, I'd probably take Mike Tomlin.
Right.
Because his team has played
and
hard.
He's only got you one Super Bowl.
Yeah, but he's done it with numerous – because Big Ben has missed numerous games, and he's been able to win with other quarterbacks.
Yeah.
His teams play hard, and I like the way he basically goes after his guys. But he keeps it all behind closed doors, too. He's a tough coach, but he's respected. The Pete Carroll thing, Pete Carroll's the same way. He's up and down. He's either going to get you there or he's going to not make the postseason.
Well, they're on the other side right now. They're coming
right.
down.
So, you know, Pete Carroll, you know, I mean, they've done a pretty good job, but they built a hell of a defense. And the defense is as long as you have Cam Chancellor and Richard Sherman and company in that secondary,
you're good to go.
You're still good to go.
And the kid, Bobby kid, I forget his last name, at linebacker, good to go. I mean, Bennett, defensive line, good to go. Because that team is built defensively. It's built
right.
on the defensive end of the ball. So now all you got to do offensively, they don't have an offensive line. They went and got the other kid. They brought him in from Texas, I think it was
right.
Dwayne Brown,
yeah.
To fortify the offensive line, but they don't have an offensive line.
So, Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, Bobby Wagner.
Right.
But that's what you end up doing, a lot of people don't understand is, okay, well, then where are you going to go pay people at? And I know we have paid some guys on the defensive side of the ball. Clay Matthews make a big chunk of money.
What's disappointing about this season is the Packers went out and got Quentin Dial and Ahmad Brooks and Devon House, and they picked these guys up. And Devon House is the one that's playing, but he's had that thigh injury this
sure,
year.
He's been
banged
up.
He's had
up.
The quad injury.
Brooks, you got nothing out of.
Brooks, you've got nothing. And this is a guy that came
here's
in.
Here's a guy that's
who
never
hardly
been
ever,
hurt.
He's never been
never
hurt.
Never been hurt.
Gets here, and suddenly he's got back spasms and problems
never been
and
hurt.
Issues. You know?
Never been hurt.
I mean, it's just it's bizarre.
But if you look around the NFL today, a lot of people want to fire – the staff over here at at the training staff over right. here in Green Bay. But if you look around the NFL right now, the amount of injuries.
Everywhere. Yeah.
Well, you know what? They need to fire the whole training staff for the Houston Texans. Because J.J. Watt gets hurt.
He gets hurt
every year.
Yeah, every year he's down.
They need to fire everybody over there.
Yep.
Not only that, the guy that had a quarterback, he just blew out his AC. I mean,
yeah,
so
Deshaun
you're taking,
Watson just went down,
you're
too.
Taking
and that was
two,
non-contact.
Yeah. So they need to fire the whole training staff for the Houston Texans every year that J.J. gets hurt.
Same way with
just turn it
same
over.
With Junior Bridgman. Same way with Teddy Bridgewater.
Yes.
Bridgewater non-contact beginning of last season.
Yeah.
He just went down.
Yeah.
Kyle Shanahan's a guy that you started to bring up. Kyle over in San Francisco.
Yes.
He goes from Atlanta, and they say Atlanta's offense sucks because he's not there anymore, and he's trying to rebuild that San Francisco 49er program. Would you want Kyle Shanahan here instead of Mike McCarthy?
No. You know, Bill, get me. I'm going to tell you, all these people, I tell you right now, and it's got to happen at some point, but I don't think it's going to happen. Give me another guy in today's game that's going to win two Super Bowls. I challenge you to do that. The only team, or the only coach that can do that is Tomlin, is
Belichick.
Well, no, Belichick, he's done. He's got five.
Okay, he's got five.
But I mean, to get another one, to get two. So you got Peyton can get two. You've got Pete Carroll that can get two. Tomlin can get two.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That's it.
Mike McCarthy can get two.
Harbaugh.
Harbaugh can get
Harbaugh
two
can
in
get
Baltimore.
Two. In Baltimore.
And Harbaugh in Baltimore is way away from getting another one.
Right. He's not
now.
Even considered an elite coach by many.
Not anymore.
You don't even think of him.
Yeah, not anymore. Oh, matter of fact, we played him at some point this year.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be tough for any coach in today's game to get two Super Bowls. Just is. Now, did Tom Coughlin get two?
Yes, he did.
I think Tom got,
two
before he
got
out.
But don't forget, Coughlin got one, and then it was years before he got back to the postseason, and then he won another one.
Is that the year that they threw that thing up, that boy caught that ball behind
his
head?
Yes. They knocked off the Patriots when the Patriots were perfect.
Oh, with Randy Moss.
With Randy Moss and company. They beat Randy Moss, a perfect Patriot.
They came up in here and beat us, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah, on the road to the Super Bowl, they've won both times at Lambeau Field.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648.
Eli's going to Jacksonville, just so you know.
Well.
Thought I'd throw that
Eli
up.
Eli needs a change of scenery.
Just I don't know where that came from.
That's a train wreck.
I thought about Tom Coughlin. I think Tom Coughlin, he's president or somewhere out there in Jacksonville or something like that.
I think he's a consultant or a coordinator or something like that.
Eli's going to Jacksonville.
Well, they need offense because their defense is stellar.
Right. Eli can win with that.
Yeah. No, their offensive coordinator is Nathaniel Hackett? And their defensive coordinator is Todd Wash down in Jacksonville. So there you have it. The moving the sticks, we got to give you that.
Let's do the moving sticks.
Brought to you by our good friends over at the Milwaukee Admirals.
Phone calls,
the Admirals are fantastic, and they got a good season going on over there, and kudos to them for doing so. But moving the sticks, brought to you by the Milwaukee Admirals. Check them out on the web, MilwaukeeAdmirals.com. That's MilwaukeeAdmirals.com. Randall Cobb takes one 46 yards on the catch and run.
318, digits!
Over the middle. Randall Cobb with one man to beat, perhaps. And he won't get away from Glover Quinn, but a huge play. Longest completion as an NFL quarterback for Brett Hundley, 46 yards.
And there you go. That's also the best hands of the game, brought to you by the Bricklayers and Allied Craft Workers of Wisconsin. Trust your next project to the best hands in the business. Log on to BACWI.org. That's BACWI.org. When we come back, we'll get back to the phone calls. We want to hear from you. Give us your thoughts on this game and about where blame should be laid. Most prominently, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Packers take it on the chin, 30-10. They fall to the Detroit Lions at Lambeau Field. More from the Hall of Fame Chop House here in Green Bay right after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Sometimes you got a stick, and sometimes you got a hit. Let's find out the hit of the game. Sponsored by Boilermakers107.com. Building and rebuilding America for over 225 years.
Welcome back to the program. 30-10, the Packers ended up getting knocked off by the Detroit Lions at Lambeau Field. I'm Bill Michaels alongside Gary Ellerson at the Hall of Fame Chop House here in Green Bay. And as far as the hit of the game goes, Packers got a turnover. Defensively, they got off the field when they needed to and ended up picking up a turnover. The unfortunate thing was they needed turnover after turnover after turnover after turnover tonight. Beagle had a nice hit at the goal line.
Yeah.
Jarred the ball loose. Didn't end up being a turnover, but nevertheless, had a couple of them. But, as far as the hit of the game, I hate to give it to the defense. they very rarely did they get to the quarterback. They had a couple of turnovers, but beyond that, it wasn't the defense's most stellar performance tonight. Yeah. There was no crushing blow levied against any Detroit Lion tonight. I think the hardest hit was the headbutt that Mike Daniels had.
Yeah, probably.
You want to give it to him.
Probably.
I don't know what else to say as far as the hit of the game goes, but we'll go with that.
Yes.
Mike Daniels headbutt. It's brought to you by the Boilermakers, Local 107, building and rebuilding America for over 225 years. You can check out the apprenticeship opportunities at Boilermakers107.com. That's Boilermakers107.com. 855-830-8648. If you want to get a hold of us, go ahead and do so. The Joe brings up a good one. Lowry and Nick Perry had a combo sack tonight.
Those two guys
they met at the middle and it went from there. So you can actually call that one a decent
I
hit of the night.
You can.
Yeah, you could probably do that. Let's do this. Let's go to Jeff listening to us in Waukesha. Jeff, welcome to the program. What's going on?
Hey, guys. A couple points here for you. One is, it's easy to harp on the defense, and I'm not one to sit here and defend them by any stretch of the imagination. They didn't play great by any means. The one opportunity they had to get off the field early, Daniels kind of makes a boneheaded play. But it seemed kind of like, it seemed like a terrible flag. I'm sorry. It didn't seem like a great flag to throw there. But bottom line, the offense, when you're going three and out, the defense is on the field nonstop. You got to get the defense a break. You got to get some first downs and give them a break. Give them a breather. That's number one. Number two, just in defense of Andy Reid, he took a quarterback who was a never was, Alex Smith, and turned him into – all of a sudden, the guy's having a Pro Bowl caliber year. You can't deny that. I mean, you cannot take anything away from what Andy Reid has done in Kansas City this year.
No, this year I'll agree with that.
He's
done better. But you're also talking about Alex Smith, who's a first-round draft choice and played quite a few years in the NFL, versus Brett Hundley, who's played 10 quarters in the NFL.
But, I agree with you. I'm not bashing Hundley by any means. Trust me, I'm giving Hundley his time to work things out, but Alex Smith did nothing for about 4 or 5 years in San Francisco.
Well, what has he done in Kansas City?
I don't know. He's having like a Pro Bowl year this year. I mean,
he's having a good year. But, I mean, it's not
over yet. But still, if you look at his –
No, you're right.
What has Andy Reid done, and what have they done in Kansas City?
I mean, Kansas City wasn't much until he came around and they went to the playoffs last year. I understand they got smoked by New England. You're right. I'll give you that. But this year, they were 6-2 coming into this week or whatever they are, and they lost a tough game to Dallas. And you know what? I mean, I don't think you can take that away from them. I still think Kansas City is a team to be a force to be reckoned with in the AFC.
Well, they are what they are. I don't know if there's a force to be reckoned with in the AFC. I think they are what they are.
I think they're a good team. I don't know if they're the top dog, but they're a good team.
And some joker got on me today and said, well, Gary, even if Aaron Rodgers was healthy, this team is not good enough to be a Super Bowl contender. Are you kidding me? Are you straight kidding me?
They would have won the game in Minnesota. They would have won the game against the Saints.
Well, they were 4-1.
They would have been sitting at 6-1
at
the bye week.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. They were sitting at 6-1 at the bye week. Things were starting to click offensively.
And I don't know what these people are doing with Philadelphia. I don't know, Bill. And I'm not buying Philadelphia, but you got a lot of people drinking that Eagles Kool-Aid.
Because they're sitting there with the record.
They got Dallas. I like Dallas with Ezekiel Elliott. We'll see what
Dallas
they got
this
week.
Dallas is starting to figure it out, too, on the offensive line.
Yeah.
They're finally getting it together.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. But, I don't care what your record is, what you think of a team.
when your record is, what is it, 7-1, 8-1?
Yeah.
That's a good football team.
Yeah, it is. I don't believe them, though. Is that bad of me?
No, there's a lot of teams. We didn't believe in a lot of teams that went on and, you know, made it to the postseason. They were 1-and-dones.
Yeah.
You know, it happens. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Looking for a lot of blame tonight as to what's going on with this team. I guess the most disappointing thing is, while we did see better play out of Brett Hundley, they had 2 weeks to get ready for this, and defensively they still look bad.
No, and I thought that they would.
And that's the – I really thought, you know, you start getting guys back.
You thought different?
Communication better. I didn't think they'd be world beaters, but I didn't think we would see this.
Yeah.
I didn't think we would see the inability to get off the field on third down.
Yeah.
The looking at times as if they don't know where they're supposed to be on the field. This was all supposed to be fixed.
No, I thought that they would. Nothing changes with this defense. I thought they were a little bit better this week in getting off the field. I mean, the week before, it was like a Chinese fire drill going on.
It was terrible.
There.
It's been terrible.
Yeah.
It's been awful to watch this team. Yep, no doubt. 855-830-8648 on the loansbykip.com, toll-free talk line. Let's go to, let's go to Justin listening to us in North Carolina. Justin, how you doing?
Hey, GE and Billy Mike, what's up, man?
What's going on,
how you doing, man?
Tough night tonight, man. So, hey, real quick, I got a couple questions for you guys, but just talk about that offense for a second. Everyone talks about the offense, and Billy Mike, you know, we call these people out on Twitter all the time that can predict the play calls. The only play call I can say from McCarthy the whole night I didn't like was that jet sweep on that 4th-and-2 or whatever. I just felt like you got to put Hundley in that option, but I don't get paid to do this, so, you know, just my thoughts, though. But defensively, GE, big brother, you say these fools can't get off the field, right? And you're absolutely right on that. And I know another caller mentioned the first possession as far as Daniels headbutting the guy. You got a second possession. Clay Matthews jumping offside on the 3rd-and-16. Like, at some time, you got to set the tone, right? You get off the field on both of those, that can set the entire tone. Correct me if I'm wrong. So I just got one question for y'all guys, because y'all are the football experts. What does 87 have to do to get a pass interference call? That's all I want to know.
The second one I can even forgive, but that first one, I mean, when you start wrapping your arms, literally putting your arms around a guy and changing the way he runs in the course of his movement, that's the epitome of pass interference.
Right, it is. You talked about
that. I know I'm
earlier.
A little bit younger than y'all cats, so y'all ain't watched the date night show, whatever it was on MTV, but I felt like he was just trying to hug him, take him to the back of the show.
Hey.
Can't get a call in the joint, though?
No, we can't get a call in the joint.
That's all right, though, man. Y'all boys keep doing it. Hey.
Yeah.
Tell them other callers to stop calling so much with all that negative stuff either, because you're talking so much bad stuff about Hundley. Hundley had a good game.
How about Cam Newton?
Who?
Cam Newton.
I can't hear that. But, gee, I want to say something ignorant, I should be like, why don't we have Giannis play quarterback too? I mean, we keep the dumb comments going now, right?
All right, guys.
Take care, man.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. There you go. He joined us saying, let's do this. Let's hear from Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy, he was at the podium a little while ago. I know it's a couple of minutes long.
Yeah.
But Mike McCarthy brought to you by your local pick and save stores where Wisconsin saves on groceries. Here's Mike McCarthy, his postgame comments.
Great Mike in here.
So there you go, Mike McCarthy after the ball game. By the way, Mike McCarthy talked about down and distances during that press conference and about taking a look at things. They converted a 3rd-and-1. They fell short on a 3rd-and-12, a 3rd-and-16, 3rd-and-9. They converted a 3rd-and-3. They fell short on a 3rd-and-2. Converted fell short on a 3rd-and-10. Mm-hmm. Converted a 3rd-and-7 and did not convert on a 3rd-and-18.
Right.
So I understand what he's saying, where they long distances to convert, but when you're talking about 3rd-and-12, 3rd-and-16, 3rd-and-13, 3rd-and-12, 3rd-and-18. That sucks on 1st and 2nd down.
Well, he's right about the down and distance.
Right.
And they were horrible there, both sides of the ball, and that kills you. I
mean, defense
can't get out the field, offense can't convert.
Right. When you take 3rd-and-14, 3rd-and-10, 3rd-and-7, 3rd-and-10, 3rd-and-8, which is all of the things that Detroit converted on.
Right. Let me ask you, what's time of possession?
Time of possession was ridiculous in favor of the Detroit.
What that goes back to.
Right.
Detroit must have had to absolutely kill them in time of possession.
They did by a full quarter, 36-55 to 23-05.
Yeah, because you can't stay on the field.
13 minutes better.
So then you
like almost a full quarter
control the ball
of your defense was on the field longer than your offense was, without a doubt. Let's do this. We'll go ahead and take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll hear from Brett Hundley. Also take some more of your phone calls. Reaction to tonight's loss as the Packers lose 30-17. to the Detroit Lions at Lambeau Field. Stay tuned. We've got more of the Green and Gold postgame show live in Green Bay at the Hall of Fame Chop House coming up right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Brett Hundley played better today, and I have great faith in Brett Hundley. Brett Hundley's not our issue right now.
Brett Hundley is not going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. You don't have Hall of Fame quarterbacks usually waiting in the wings. And if they are Hall of Fame quarterbacks, they usually don't start out being Hall of Fame quarterbacks waiting in the wings. So for those that want to blame Brett Hundley, I think you're a little off base. Brett Hundley did play better tonight. Did he play great? Not great. But he played better tonight. Didn't turn the ball over. Threw the ball into a couple of tight windows. We saw more decisiveness, specifically in the second half downfield. But they were in bad down and distance situations, third and long, pretty much the entire game when it came down to it. Gary Ellerson alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. We are glad to have you as a part of the Green and Gold postgame show. We'll come back with Brett Hundley's comments coming up here shortly. If you got a phone call to make, go ahead and shoot it to us. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Yeah.
It's tough for Packer fans to understand what the NFL is really all about when you don't have a quarterback, when you've had one for the better part of 30 years. That's your problem. And when they see what that kind of looks like, I think it freaks them out. But you have, and I'm going to say lucky, you've just been lucky and blessed to get Aaron Rodgers behind Brett Favre. There's not a lot of organizations that can say that. I mean, I think you can go to San Fran, right?
This is what it's like to be a Browns fan, a 49ers fan. Jacksonville Jaguar fan. This is what everybody.
I wouldn't even say that. I think this is what it's like to be a Lions fan, maybe a Kansas City fan, maybe a Vikings fan. Because I don't think you're Cleveland bad. I don't think you're that bad. But I think you can be I think McCarthy and Dom Capers are pretty good. I think you can be 9-7, 8-8. That's what I think you are. You're in there somewhere. If you didn't have a quarterback and if you had a year or two to try to figure it out, I think they can be 9-7, 8-8, maybe 10-5.
I just don't know. I mean, if you had to say right now that you're going to start this team next year and you're going to have the same personnel led by Brett Hundley, I think Hundley could get a lot better and the team still would be an 8-8, 7-9 type of team.
So then, Bill, what you have to figure out and do, you got to change directions. Okay, first of all, Jokers hit me up today about the Dallas Cowboys and how they've been able to make the exchange between
Tony Romo and Dak Prescott.
That really wasn't hard to do.
No. Dak Prescott was a pretty good quarterback when he had his opportunity.
Well, what do you think Tony Romo was?
Tony Romo was a good quarterback, too.
That wasn't a hard turnaround. I didn't think that was a turnaround. That wasn't a hard turnaround. And then on top of that, they had been bad for so many number of years. They got all those high draft picks on the offensive line. And then they got Ezekiel Elliott at number 4.
Who took all the pressure off of
Dak Prescott his first year.
Right.
So I don't
mean, they made some good picks.
Right. They hit them all. But they were high draft picks though. But Bill, how many times did you hear the son had to call Jerry Jones off? No, Dad, we'll take this offensive line.
Oh no. I mean,
no, Dad,
absolutely.
We're doing this.
When he was gonna take Johnny Manziel,
remember that?
And instead his son wrestled that out of his hand and said, "We are taking Zach Martin.
Yes.
We're going to solidify that tackle position and guard position because we already went out and figured out our tackles. We had Collins at our tackle. We had Tyron Smith at our tackle. We are getting killed in the interior. Travis Frederick out of Wisconsin is our center.
Yes.
We got to go get this cat. We got to go solidify our guard." And they went and got Zach Martin, and then they said, "Okay, now we believe we're going to roll." Now we think we've got something. Well, then Tony Romo gets hurt. They bring in Ezekiel Elliott. They bring in Dak Prescott. You know, things kind of work out for them.
Yeah. Want to read that?
ESPN stats and info. Four quarterbacks other than Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers have started for the Packers since September 27th, 1992. Those four quarterbacks are a combined 3-6. It's not good. I'll agree with that. Sucks. It sucks. It sucks. No doubt. 855-830-8648. Real quick, let's take a listen to what was said after the ball game by Brett Hundley. His statements are brought to you by our friends at the Granville Business Improvement District. Feel the energy and power at granvillebusiness.org. Granville, a great place to grow your business and work. So there you go. That's some of Brett Hundley. Let's do this. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break.
All right.
Do we have time, Joe, to take a break? We have one break, and then let's take a break, and then we'll come back. We'll get Mike Clemens, who's on hold over at Lambeau Field. More of the Green and Gold postgame show right after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Somebody stood out today, and that player, they're the Chili's MVP. Enjoy Chili's $22 dinner for two today. Let's see who Bill and Gary have picked.
Welcome back. It's the Green and Gold postgame show. We'll get to Mike Clemens coming up here in just a minute. You could go with a couple of guys as far as the MVP of the game. Randall Cobb, 5 catches, 58 yards, his longest being that 46-yard run. But go to the defensive side of the football. If you want to give it to Blake Martinez, he was a leading tackler today, and Blake Martinez continues to impress and get better. 10 tackles he had today, also forced a fumble today. I mean, if you want to talk about maybe the guy that could possibly be your MVP, would you give it to Blake Martinez?
Well, I'm going to go off the grid, Bill, because the most impressive thing that I saw happen tonight was that field goal team get on the field
to make that
field goal.
8 seconds.
In 8 seconds. Now, that's coaching.
They got out there. They
we
set
don't
up.
Talk about Ron Zook a whole
By
hell of
the
a
way,
lot.
A new snapper who had a miscue earlier in the game.
Right.
Well, let's do this. We'll just give it to the special teams.
Special teams. We don't talk about runs that go
your
a whole
Chili's
hell.
MVP was the special teams for the ability to get on the field and kick a field goal in 8 seconds. There you have it. Let's go over to Lambeau Field where Mike Clemens is standing by. Michael, how you doing, buddy?
That really was probably their best play of the night. Some injuries. Brian Bulaga, knee injury. They determined he was out of the game before they even took him to the locker room. That's not a good sign. Morgan Burnett left the game with a groin injury. Of course, he missed several games with a hamstring. The defense is very down right now in the Packers' locker room. Just talked to Devon House, and he was asked, how much does this team Aaron Rodgers? And here's what Devon House said.
Aaron said it has nothing to do with the defense. We got to play better on the defense side of the ball. It's embarrassing. Monday night, it was time to show out today. That wasn't the case. It's tough. We got to do a better job as players and coaches. We got to get the film third down. It's third and forever. We're not getting first downs. Second and forever, they're getting first downs. Gashing us. I mean, people are running wide open. But at the end of the day, if they can catch the hard throws, like the touchdown they call him Demaryius, good throw, good catch. You know what I mean? There that we can live with. But, you know, other stuff is we can't live with that. Gonna be what are we 4-4 now? That's not good football.
And then the Packers would stop these guys on third down and have a penalty like Mike Daniels.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know, and it capped off by a dumbass penalty I made, you know, and let them get the ball going. So, you know, I really take that up on myself because if we stop them there, then they get short field. We're definitely going to score and now they're behind. So, you know, I let my emotions get the best of me. Obviously, the referees aren't going to make holding calls because they feel sorry for them. But nonetheless, I can't respond. Second guy always gets caught, so stupid-ass penalty.
The Lions have pulled it together the last couple of weeks. Jim Caldwell saying they practiced better the last couple of weeks. They just couldn't convert in the red zone against the Steelers, even though they had over 400 yards offense. I asked former Packer, now right guard for the Lions, T.J. Lang, what's making the difference?
You know, there's no magical recipe. We just talked about we got to start fast. I don't think we've scored a touchdown on opening drive all season. And obviously, talked a lot about it yesterday. A big key for us was going to, you know, obviously go out there, score, try to get a lead, you know, try to keep them behind us and get them off their game plan a little bit. And, I think we did a good job executing.
What made the difference in some of those screens and running plays against the Steelers that were successful, 15 and 20-yard pickups tonight?
I think we caught them in, you know, good timing. I think a lot of those screens that we were able to get off, it seemed like they were bringing a lot of pressure. So obviously that's a perfect time to call some screens when, you know, when they're dropping a couple guys out of their secondary and pressuring the quarterback. I thought it was good timing and good execution.
Is that a little emotional for you out
there? Pregame was a little bit, you know, walking around, looking at the stadium again. But, you know, once the ball was kicked off, once the game started, you got focus on your job. Obviously, stayed out a while after the game talking to a lot of my former teammates. And good to see those guys. But big win for our football team. We came in here to get back on the right track, and we were able to accomplish it.
Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you, Mike.
Hey, Mike, real quick before I let you go, what was the mood like as far as you mentioned defensively speaking, but the fact that they had 2 weeks to prepare for this and this was the best effort they had?
I think there's a question about effort and where these guys' heads are at, and now they got another divisional opponent. Mike McCarthy says, I'm not going to blame Brett Hundley on this. I'm going to blame performance on third down. I'm going to blame our defense, but you got to put it on Hundley. There's some of those balls, they're a little overthrown. It's still not there yet.
Yeah, it's better, but it's still not there. I completely agree. Good stuff, Mike. We'll talk to you soon, buddy. Appreciate it. Hey, by the way, coming up tomorrow on the program on my local show, or on the network show, if you will, we've got Peter King's going to be joining us. Peter King, Brian Billick, DA from CBS Sports Radio, all on the program.
You got to hear that.
So that's going to be good tomorrow. This is ugly, Gary. I don't know how else to put it. And then we're going to reconvene in Chicago this coming weekend.
Chicago is not a gimme, folks. Not a gimme.
They got a good defense.
They got a really good defense. And so, once again, Fox, the Chicago Bears, really have built this team on the defensive side of football. That's why they're playing so much better.
One more time, Packers take it on the chin. 30-17, time for us to go. Have a going. See ya.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.